Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Radio 630 Chad.
It is 4:33 in Edmonton. Oilers Now at 3 hours on a non-game day. 2 hours to set you up for a day like tomorrow, for example, when the Oilers visit Los Angeles. It's an 8:30 puck drop. We are on the air at 4:30. Yeah, that makes sense. We're doing 4 hours. Two of us, two of the face-off show, and then as much hockey as you could possibly stomach on a Friday night thereafter. Some guests of Oilers Now do receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or hockey game or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. Tell Chris and Chef Altoff that Oilers Now sent you. So a tough day, obviously, in terms of hockey legend Bob Cole leaving us at 90 years old, but it timed out well in that we were already planning on talking to Ron McLean, a longtime co-worker of Bob Cole's, and John Shannon coming up a little later on today as well. But without further ado, let's jump into it. I had to pre-tape, as I'm sure you can imagine, a very busy time of year for Ron McLean, and so he's on air tonight, but he will chat with me right here, right now from NHL Hockey on Rogers for Century Casino Edmonton. Every day is game day at Century Casino Sports Bar and Lounge. Head to Century Casino on 131st Avenue and Fort Road. Let's get it. Well, Ron, frankly, I wish I could be joining you under better circumstances today, but we'd better start with the news of the day, and that is with the passing of the iconic Bob Cole. Where were you when you heard the news? Your initial reaction?
I was in my kitchen when my wife, Carrie, sent me a text that CBC News was investigating the possibility. So I had spoken to Bob Brendan on the, and forgive me, there's going to be a lot of these calls coming in, you know, today. But I had spoken to Bob on Saturday, and I'm really grateful for that conversation. That idea of calling him, I always do on the opening day of the season and the opening day of the playoffs. We talk other times, but that's kind of inspired by Sidney Crosby. I'd heard a story where Sidney phoned Bob at the start of the season a few years ago and thought, I'll make that a tradition of my own. And anyway, it was lovely to chat with Bob, and I spoke with Robbie and Megan, two of his children, a few hours ago. Well, now it'd be close to half a day ago. And they were all together. He has four incredible kids, Christian's the oldest, then Hillary, Megan, and Robbie. The Megan became the actor in the family. She kind of followed in Bob's footsteps. Megan makes her home now in Vancouver, but I went to see her perform in a play called Jitters at Brock University. Bob and I went down, and she was an amazing actor. And then Robbie followed in Dad's footsteps in the sense he's a pilot. Bob has his certification was a certified airplane pilot, and Robbie is a pilot, mostly doing helicopter flying, but amazing pilot working all over the world. And great family. Grateful to have known them as much as I am grateful to have known Bob.
And, you know, a tremendous loss, not only for the hockey community, Ron, but obviously this is someone who's received the Order of Canada, so you can see the that he has had on many Canadians over many, many decades, five of them, in fact, if I've done the math right.
Well, think about him as a boy, Brendan. He broke his leg playing soccer, and he was confined to his bed for about 6 months, and he would sit there listening to Hockey Night in Canada, and the thing that struck him the most was Foster Hewitt would always say, "Hello, Canada and hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland." This man who received the Order of Canada, Newfoundland wasn't even a part of Canada when Bob was a boy, but that's what struck him, was that Foster Hewitt made it a point to include Newfoundland in the tradition. It became a great bridge, and I think Bob, his whole life, other than his appreciation of stage and performance, he loved to go to Broadway, but I think he really understood that a broadcast isn't a broadcast, it's a bridge, and he loved the idea of transporting somebody from their home to a center ice at Maple Leaf Gardens, let's say. It was an incredible gift that he had, inspired by that simple opening that Foster did, and maybe the fact that he grew up in St. John's, Newfoundland, at the base of Signal Hill, which is where Marconi did the first transatlantic electronic transmission, again, a form of a bridge that really made an impression on Bob.
It's almost a sampling of what a Canadian really is, in that I think he prioritized allowing the play, the scene that was unfolding, to really be the spectacle. He never wanted to be the spectacle, and yet he now, and of course posthumously, will continue to receive so much accolade for what he did provide as that commentator. So it's interesting to hear you say the word bridge, and you know, he received so much praise, all while trying not to be the star of the show.
Well, because the players loved him, I think the folks who tuned in realized that he was held in such esteem. And, you know, the connection is really close with the Edmonton Oilers. When Bob and I spoke on Saturday, we were reflecting on Glenn Sather. And the reason we were is because the Friday had been the 25th anniversary of Wayne's last game at Madison Square Garden in New York. So we were talking a little bit about Gretzky's last game, and then we got into Glenn Sather. I was telling Bob the story of how when I mentioned Sather and his mother's dress shop in Wainwright, you know, it kind of brought a few chuckles from the younger generation. And so that's what we were discussing. And Bob called the Oilers' first cup. Obviously, he was part of everything there. But that 84 broadcast, Brendan, I was still a young man, not even involved in the NHL until September of that year. But in May of that year, I listened to Bob do the legendary, "There's a new bunch on the block. The Edmonton Oilers, my name. And the Oilers have won the Stanley Cup." And you know what that meant to Albertans. So Bob, Wayne just thought the world of him, Wayne Gretzky. And we used to kid, you know, it seemed like every 2 months Wayne was giving Bob a stick for his son Robbie. And I wanted to say to Wayne, don't you realize that Robbie could open a sporting goods store in St. John's, Newfoundland, exclusively marketing your sticks, Wayne? Because he has quite a few of them. But he loved Bob Cole, Wayne did. And that's throughout the NHL, you know, he was held in that kind of esteem.
But as we chat with Ron McLean here from Hockey Night, courtesy of our friends at Century Casino Edmonton, it wasn't limited to the NHL. He had some iconic international calls as well, whether it be, I guess, the Soviet series in, 72, or you think about the Olympics and Salt Lake City. He was synonymous with that as well, wasn't he?
Well, not only Salt Lake and the famous G.O. Sakic. So I always say there's two men that I've experienced in my whole career who could take a one-syllable word and make it two, and that's Russell Crowe, the actor. When he was at the NHL Awards, he presented the Art Ross. It's actually funny. He was there to do the Hart Trophy, but he showed up early, and he wanted to get away to get back to his filming. So we let him do the Art Ross, and he turned the word art into two syllables. And, of course, Bob took Joe out of Joe Sakic and G.O. psychic. Surely that has to be it. Stand up and cheer, Canada. It's been 50 years. You know, amazing call of the gold medal performance. There was so many things about how Bob did it. And his first experience with the Olympics was 1968. He did pistol, which he was, and he did show jumping, a little bit of equestrian. So he has that. And then the following year, Brendan, was his first Hockey Night in Canada. It was for radio. CBC had a radio as well as television, and Bob would do the radio arm up until about 1976. He transferred over to television full-time. But in 69, he called a pretty famous goal, and what it is Béliveau's double overtime winner against the Bruins at the Garden, and that came up in 1993. Montreal had won 10 straight games in overtime in the playoffs, and Jean Béliveau was there at the Forum during a morning skate, and he said to Bob, "You know, Bob, it's funny. I don't think I ever scored an overtime goal." And Bob Cole said, "Oh no, Jean, you did. You scored the double OT winner in 69." And Béliveau says, "Well, how do you remember that?" And he said, "Because it was my first ever game." So, amazing moment. And here's another story about Edmonton. Bob had a golf tournament from 1988 to 1993. Six consecutive years he ran the tournament. We were there the day Wayne Gretzky was traded. I'll never forget the panic. Bob trying to get a hold of first Kevin Lowe, and then he went out on a golf cart to the hole where Grant Fuhrer was playing, and he told Grant Fuhrer, "Gretzky's been traded," and Grant dropped a 60-foot putt after hearing that news, which is hilarious. Anyway, the 88 tournament, not crazy. So the 88 tournament, it's about 2 days before the players are all to fly down for Bob's event, and he phones me and he says, "Ron, I got a situation here. If you guys have canceled, can you get me anybody?" So I phoned around down in southern Ontario, and I got Nelson Emerson and Rob Blake. They were two university NCAA Bowling Green guys who were certain to play in the NHL the next year, and I said, "Would you guys come to St. John's for Bob's tournament?" They said yes. So I said to Bob Cole, "I've got Nelson Emerson and Rob Blake." And Bob's response on the phone was, "Who the bleep is Rob Blake?" And we've laughed about that through the years because he went on to do okay.
Not too bad. In fact, his team going up against the Edmonton Oilers in this opening round series yet again. And it's been wildly entertaining for one reason or another. Bounces, just all kinds of craziness, and it's got some fans questioning the goaltending here. You listen to the goaltender talk in the post game, and Stuart Skinner's shaking his head at it. He's saying, "Yeah, it's a bit frustrating to see all this kind of thing go by." Over the years, how big a difference have you noticed a 2-0 lead versus a 1-1, sort of split as they go back to the other locale?
You know, honestly, I mean, I'm sure the numbers will say if you win the first two, chances are you're going to win the series. But I do remember Carolina winning in 2006, dropping the first two at home, and countless other examples I could give you of where teams have dropped both games at home and won the series in six. Detroit against Vancouver in 2002. Detroit was on the ropes, and then there was a Lidstrom goal from center ice in game three at the Pacific Coliseum, and that series flipped on a dime. And there's many others. So I never put a whole lot of stock in the idea of reading off of one game and expecting that to mean that's going to happen again in the next. With respect to Skinner, Hellebuck's feeling the heat. Mitch Marner is feeling the heat. It's like stars all around the league. Ottinger was until last night. Ovechkin obviously is getting it. It just seems to be one of the storylines of these early playoffs that superstars are being questioned. And I wouldn't say Stewart is a superstar, but it doesn't take long for fans to overreact, and that was an example. I loved the game last night, not from him, but I loved the game, and the way I kind of sort of internalized it was when I saw Dano get filled in by Hyman, and certainly McDavid took a big hit, and Sam Carrick was buckled on a big hit, and when Kane got Doughty, and then he even cross-checked him after Doughty gloved the puck ahead, all of those guys just carried on with the game, and there wasn't a five-man intervention. I called it respect. I don't know if that's the word, but I just feel like in this particular rivalry at Battle, there's a willingness to take these extreme forms of punishment, these hits, without overreactions. And it's just, it's very impressive to watch that part of the game. And then the skill, you know, speaks for itself, whether it's the first game, Hattie and five assist performance by Connor, or what Kempe and the Kopitar line did last night. So it's really a good series.
I agree with you, Ron, and I wonder how much of what, I think there could have been a little more pushback or a little more killer instinct, I think, as toward the end of that game, but not every effort's going to be filled with the same type of emotional atmosphere. What I want to know from you is, it's the oldest team in the league, the Oilers is, and we're talking about a much more composed group in theory. Do you think that they're presenting like one out on the ice, maybe even lending some credence to what you were just saying there?
You know, I think they know it's a best of seven. You know, you want them to have the 2-0 lead. I suppose every Oiler fan automatically is assuming they'll have that killer instinct. But the truth is, it generally flips back and forth based on the true desperation or urgency required. So, as an example, in the 2004 Stanley Cup, Calgary-Tampa, it alternated every game. You know, one would win and then the other. And that's just not uncommon. The Carolina Hurricanes in 06 got up 3-1 in the series, and we all went back to Raleigh, assuming it was a coronation and that was over. And then, of course, Edmonton wins the next two. The only problem was, maybe, Edmonton won game six by a score of 4-0, and it could have been 10-0. And now you feel the momentum is entirely switched over to Edmonton, and Carolina gets it done in game seven. So veteran players understand that. They don't get too high, too low. I felt like Kane and Perry were a threat that were about to score. Kevin Bieksa picked them both to score in overtime, which is against the rules. But anyway, they looked like they were poised to do something. Kopitar obviously did do something as a veteran. Doughty is a veteran. So, yeah, don't discount the importance of those guys, but don't read too much into a single 60 minutes and expect that to transfer.
We'll wrap up with this. In Toronto, there's lots of sort of subplots going on. William Nylander's injury, it sounds like he might be battling a concussion-like symptoms. Mitch Marner and, you know, what comes with him, I suppose. And then we've got this, the crowd is sort of being called into question, and publicly after last night's game, by Joe Bowen, who's done the radio broadcast for a long, long time. It's interesting because you hear how fired up the crowd in Edmonton is, and certainly I wonder what the difference would be between the two locales. Was it just maybe a bad game to draw a gauge on that, or is there something to be said for a less raucous environment in Toronto inside Scotiabank Arena?
I just think there's a dread in Toronto. You know, the 67 is a long haul without winning. The fact that Boston has been their, you know, nemesis, it's all, I think, tension. I think, you know, there's no question there's a corporate aspect to the fan base. The ticket, you know, my wife Carrie and a friend attended the game last night, and that was $1,000. And they were way up. They weren't down, you know, at ice level. But that's a lot of money. You know, that was basically her birthday gift to, you know, down the drain. So, I mean, she's probably like everyone else thinking, good grief, that was $1,000 for that, you know, and it wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't a great game. And that's, I think, you know, a little bit a reflection of how much it costs. You know, the scene outside the rink, much like in the Moss Pit, it's youth and it's energy and it's unbridled adoration. That, you know, they're with you throughout. But the team inside, the fan base there, paid a lot of money to have their heart broken the last few years, and I think that's why. I do feel like Calgary, in particular, used to be very quiet. I don't know when it switched, I do know when it switched. It switched in 2003. They missed the playoffs on the last day of the season, and the crowd gave them a standing ovation. And it was almost like from that moment forward, they started wearing the Flames sweaters. And Edmonton, I think that, you know, whole scene in 2006, Jasper Avenue jam-packed, I think that's when you saw a way more energetic and vocal fan base, because prior to that, standards were high, expectations were high, and there was a lot of nerves attached to that. People just sat there with a very discriminating view, and you know, they didn't want to just be tailgating the whole time. And I think that's what's happening in Toronto.
There you go. That's Ron McLean from NHL Hockey on Rogers, brought to you by Century Casino Edmonton. And a tough subject matter today, no doubt. But 780-496-0063. We're sharing stories of just favorite. And it doesn't have to be Bob Cole. I mean, maybe that's a little bit too much of a silo for you. But I'll give you an example. My favorite non-hockey broadcaster would be Kevin Harlan. And you can find him calling basketball on radio or football games throughout the regular season. I think he's phenomenal. But who is it for you? Who's your all-timer? Send us a text. And I'll tell you, too, that we do hear a lot of comments, no kidding, about the cost of living, including the cost of vehicles. And at the same time, consumers are keeping these vehicles a lot longer. Repair costs start to come into play. But the team at Brent Ridge Ford is working on some help. They've assembled over 30 escaped and Bronco Sports that can provide reliable and affordable transportation for fair and open vehicle ownership. Call Rich, Johnny, or Uncle Milt at 780-352-6048. Brent Ridge Ford is on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Take a time out. Come back with some texts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Well, there's a new butt on the block in the National Hockey League. The Edmonton Oilers, by name, the Oilers have won the Stanley Cup.
1984. The new bunch on the block, I guess so. They did that a few times thereafter. As we now know, asking you your favorite broadcaster, Fraser with a layup says Cam Moon, man. It's Cam Moon. You're invited to join New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia as you discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand as well. Your 19-day tour includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, daily tours as well. You'll be immersed in the cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. Book by May 31st and save $1,300 per person. For details, contact New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. Oilers and Kings Game 3 tomorrow night on 630 CHED. We're on at 4:30. Face-off show at 6:30. Puck drop at 8:30. And certainly a swing game. It's a hostile environment there. We know that is very much the case, as it should be when you play a team for the last couple of playoff series. But I like to see Edmonton leaning into the villainous role. And when you have the likes of Corey Perry on your team, for example, that should be pretty easy to do, right? Vander Kane out there willing to rock and roll. Although, I will say a little less, seemingly a little less willing to finish that check. We'll see as the playoffs go along, but the sports hernia injury for Kane definitely makes some sense. What's nice is that you're not relying on him as the sole catalyst for all that kind of thing. I mentioned Holloway's a physical presence. Matthias Janmark's physical game amps up in the playoff scenario. So is that going to be a secret to success in Game 3? Quite possibly. Very curious, what Bob has to say in about an hour here, about what he thought of the efforts. Power play still looks phenomenal, but lots to improve, no doubt. It is 4:58 in Edmonton. Randy Kilburn has the Global News weather traffic update on the other side. It is John Shannon to tell you more about Bob Cole and more about that broadcast deal with Amazon as well.